It's the Book of the Week.
Oh, it's that time of the week again where we have Portsmouth Authors Collective and myself doing the book club with our guest author. Today's guest author is Todd Mottram. He's been with us before. So Todd is a local indie author living with his wife on the edge of Fareham. And we're not writing about crimes we would rather not think about. Todd helps protect some of the country's most vulnerable children, including several unaccompanied asylum-seeking children, or small boat children, as they have become incorrectly known. His book of the week is Bodies Under the Pier. It's a gritty crime thriller set in Southsea's South Parade Pier and locations around Portsmouth and Hailing Island, with reference to true crime, including the horrific 2001 Body in the Thames murder of the child Adam. This procedural police thriller follows the fictional case of two young bodies washed up under the pier. So, Todd, I did say in my intro that you've been here before, but not as yourself.
That's correct. I was here as somebody else last time, but just me this time.
Yeah, sitting in for Anya. So, this is now all about your new book, Bodies Under the Pier. Like we say, a gritty crime thriller. It all sounds a bit heavy, a bit of a heavy subject.
The inspiration is certainly heavy. The story is about two young men who are washed up under the South Parade Pier, and it is based on the Body in the Thames case of the poor little boy Adam, who was murdered quite gruesomely. So yes, it is a gruesome inspiration to the story, but it is just a crime thriller. It's not a snuff book in any way, like, or a horror book or anything like that. It is a crime book, so it doesn't read as bad as you think it might with the subject I've chosen.
Okay, so yeah, being a crime thriller, is dealing with a pretty horrific crime. Is it going to give me nightmares if I read it?
No, it shouldn't do. I would say any thriller reader would be able to read it quite comfortably. So yes, it's an adult book. You wouldn't want your kids to read it, perhaps, but no, you'll be fine.
Do you need to have inside knowledge to be able to write police procedurals?
It is procedural. It's quite technical in places. I would say it would probably help. I haven't actually got any myself. A relative of mine was in Special Branch, and some of the things that he told me have inspired me with my main character, but he didn't give away any information about individual cases, of course. So in my case, it's a lot of Googling and a lot of watching similar procedural type dramas and reading similar type books.
And Todd, is there some procedural detail around children in care and children claiming asylum?
There is much more insider knowledge regarding the children in care and the asylum seekers in the book. I do actually work with one of the child protection agencies on a part-time basis. The second main character in the book, Polly, is definitely a real person in my head. It's definitely one particularly young person I worked with, plus some other characteristics of other children I've worked with as well. So she is very much based on insider knowledge. It's a person I know in my head, even if it isn't actually a real person in herself.
Okay. Let's just have a look at the book quickly, because I always like to look at the covers. And Bodies Under the Pier, crime thriller. And it is indeed South Parade Pier. Did you take the picture?
I didn't take the picture. I found it on a Facebook page, and it's by a photographer called Dave Sloan, and I was very impressed with the picture. It's a little bit menacing picture of South Parade Pier, and it shows some of the grunginess, a little bit of vandalism, as well as a menacing sky, so it fitted the book perfectly. I actually spoke to Dave Sloan and explained that I was an indie author, and he immediately agreed that I could use a picture free of charge, so I'm very pleased with it. There is also, I think, there's an advantage to using that picture. I've had the book on a couple of stalls with Portsmouth Authors Collective, and it's sold surprisingly well. And I think part of that is people see the picture. It's an iconic building in Portsmouth, and it attracts them to the book to pick it up and have a look. So, yes, it's worked.
And I guess that is the purpose of any cover picture, really. Bodies Under the Pier, it's your debut novel. What was the writing experience like, and did you draw up your plot before you started to write?
The actual process, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the writing process. I was encouraged to do it by other people, and I'm so glad I did. A writer like me who doesn't do any plotting is known as a panster, which is, I've heard you and Laurie use that term on this show before, and I was very much a panster. I basically start writing on page one and work all the way through to the end. If I've got halfway through and realise I need a new character, I have to go back to the beginning again, so it's not totally linear, but it is without any other plotting. I'm not very disciplined, unfortunately, so I can't say, oh, I'll do some writing next Thursday, for instance. I really have to want to do it at that moment, and I can't do it if I've got anything else on my mind. So I don't think I'll ever be a commercially successful or productive author, but I've absolutely enjoyed the process.
You seem to have sold a few books. You've been going to some of the events that PAC put on. You are selling some, aren't you?
Yes, I'm selling them at PAC. I'm very pleased with that, which, as I say, some of that I put down to the cover, but for whatever reason. I also sell online as well. So yes, it's going very well. I have sold a few.
Most authors that come in, I talk to them, and they've already got the next book planned in their mind. What's next for you?
I have started writing the second book. What has happened, which surprised me, is it's about the second character in the first book. So my intention was to write a second book around Nathan Hart, the main character, but I fell in love so much with the young child in care that was in the first book that I've actually centered the second book around her. So Nathan is in it. It is still a procedural police thriller, but it's about more of the special challenges that some children in care face that the rest of us are fortunate enough not to. So it's around Polly.
Part of your day job is looking after children coming into the country, and that's obviously a tough job. Is that what inspired you to write?
No, I don't think so. I think I've always felt that I wanted to write. I was one of these people that assumed that everybody wanted to write a book. So I've always wanted to write a book. I particularly like procedural crime thrillers, so I wanted to write one of those. I knew about some of these kiddies in care and some of the unaccompanied asylum seekers. I knew about that, so I was writing about what I know. And then Polly kind of took it off me and led the way after that, really.
Book's out. Where can we buy it? I suppose is a good question.
Well, it's selling successfully on the Portsmouth Authors Collective stalls, I'm very pleased with. It's also available in New to You Books in Cosham High Street, and St Faith's charity shop in Haven High Street, and it's available with Amazon online as a Kindle and also as a paperback.
Oh, I always get an author to choose a particular song, and you've chosen The Clash. What's the song called?
I Fought the Law and the Law Won by The Clash, and I do prefer this particular version even over the original, which is also good.
Todd, thanks for coming in and talking to us once again. I wish you luck with your book, and here's your song. And we're back with part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club with myself and Laurie. Laurie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. That was fun talking with Todd.
It was, yeah.
Very excited, wasn't he? He's left the book with me, and we'll dig into that as and when I can. You know my TBR list is massive now. But
it's growing every week, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm always grateful for the book, because one day I will get around and I'll read them all. Okay, so I believe you had a really busy week. Weekend, especially in Leo Solent.
Oh, yeah. So I was scheduled to do two events in Leon Solent on the weekend. The first one, well, they were both taking part at the same time, 10 to 2 o'clock.
Yep, splitting yourself up.
Yep, St. Faith's Church was having their summer fete. And, of course, the weekend was very wet and windy, wasn't it? Or at least Saturday was. And the summer fete moved inside the church and went ahead, and that was great. We had lots of people attending that. That was a lot of fun. And the second event was at the bookshop, which had planned to have an author event in a marquee outside the shop with lots of local authors taking part, but because it was so windy, they took the wise decision of postponing that event to another date. So that one will be rescheduled for later on in the summer.
I see that a number of your authors sporting new t-shirts and hoodies emblazoned with the PAC logo on.
I'm you know, still looking for different ways of being able to promote us as a group. And so, yes, there's a wonderful printing company in town that I've been recommended. They did a fantastic job with some t-shirts and hoodies and all sorts. We've got some printed bags as well. Just a way of giving us a little bit of recognition as we walk down the street. And if you see one of us, it says Portsmouth Authors Collective on the back with Talk to the Author printed underneath. If you see one of those, you know it's one of us. So do stop and have a chat.
Brilliant. I know you got them from my company, actually, Design and Print Hub. I hope they looked after you.
Oh, they were wonderful.
PAC, you know, it's all about getting the word out there and helping authors to get a bit of recognition and sales. What are some of the ways writers can attract a bit of attention?
I'm always looking for ways to help people promote themselves. And so that's looking for opportunities where people can do public readings, or, you know, another good thing is when writers write a newspaper article or a magazine article, that gives them the opportunity to mention their book and what they do.
Well, I will add there that, you know, all publicity is good as long as they spell the name right, but the best publicity is the free stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And if you write a newspaper or a magazine article, depending on what the publication is, you'll get paid for that as well. So you get a double bonus of being able to promote yourself.
Yeah, and I think news publishers, they're a bit lazy these days. And so if you provide them with the copy, you've got more chance of getting it in there.
I think that's really true. And I think looking for any opportunity, If you're going to be doing a book signing, let's say, you can promote yourself in the newspaper by making an announcement that you're going to be doing that, but then you also get the bonus of being in the shop doing a book signing and people wandering in and being able to make contact with them that way in person.
What about Zoom meetings and things like that? Does that help in any way?
Yeah, so there are a number of opportunities with online readings. I've just done one myself this past week. So myself, Steve Shepherd, and Tina McNaughton. I didn't realize Tina was going to be there, so that was a surprise that she was there with us. But we took part in a Zoom session called Writer's Reading, which is hosted by Debbie Voisy. Debbie is a wonderful writer. She was published alongside me, and so we've been quite close ever since our double launch with Fairlight Books. And she has a session that she will provide a platform for people to read from their works in progress or from their published works in front of an audience. So it's a really good opportunity to let people know about our writing.
You've also got a really good connection with St. Faith's Bookshop in Haven, haven't you?
Yeah, we do. They've been wonderful. They've pretty much given us an open invitation to hold book signings in their shop. And so, again, that's just a really good way of being able to meet a few members of the public and sell a few books. And I think it's about getting your name out there and building up recognition.
Do you know what I'm noticing more and more, very much with the Portsmouth Authors Collective, is how in sync all the authors are with each other, and they're helping each other. They buy each other's books.
I think that's really important, because I think if we are working together, we need to know something about each other's writing styles and each other's books. And especially when we're on the market stalls, we need to be able to know enough about those books to sell them to other customers.
So I guess, you know, an author's always going to want to read anyway, so why not buy local?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got such a wide variety of genre that there is something literally for everyone.
Absolutely. What's coming up for PAC?
Steve Shepherd is going to be doing a book signing at St. Faith's Bookshop in Havant. That's going to be on Wednesday, the 26th of June, and he will be there from about 10:30 in the morning. Then Speaking Volumes, which is also on the 26th of the month, that takes place at 6 Highland Road from 7:00 in the evening. So that's a good opportunity to hear other writers read and find out more about their books.
And then the effervescent Christine Lawrence, she's back in the game.
Ah, yes. So Christine is also going to be at St. Faith's Bookshop for a book signing on Saturday, the 29th of June.
Now, do you know what I want to talk about now?
No.
This is week 51 of Portsmouth Authors Collective.
Yes.
Next week, it'll be our anniversary.
It's the big one.
We'd have been doing this for a year.
I know.
It doesn't feel like it.
No.
It really doesn't. But we're going to do something special. I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a few people in to chat with.
Yep.
We're going to give anything away? No. That's the answer. I'll tell you what we will do, Laura. We'll get a few of your writers in. We'll be talking. Obviously, I think we should get Jackie in, because she's been very involved with the book.
Mm-hmm. Maybe tell us what's happening with the competition.
Absolutely. That's been going amazing. We're now putting out stories every day between now and the end of the month, weekdays. Uh-huh. I did the first one on Monday. Jackie's read some. Steve's read some. Anton Darby's going to read one. Cool. Then we get to the end of the month, and then you'll have your shortlist, and then it gets really exciting.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
It's going to be fun. Laurie, thanks again for coming in, and I'm really getting excited about next week already.
Wonderful. So am I. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun day. It's going to. And guys listening at home, do make sure you check in next week, because I think it's not just going to be so educational. I think it will be a bit of fun.
Absolutely.
Let's make it fun. Having just mentioned that we're going to be reading another story today, which we are, we're reading one of the 600-word Pick the Pops short story competition entries every day between now and the end of the month, every weekday between now and the end of the month. And Jackie Green is about to read one for you. These are picked totally randomly out of the batch of, I can't tell you how many yet. Jackie might tell you that all next week. We've picked 10 out. So one a day is being read. And today, Jackie is reading this one.
Billie Jean. I'm perched on a mint green sofa in a large reception area, a whiff of disinfectant swirling through the air, waiting to be interviewed for a role I don't want. I could curse my dad. It's hardly my dream job, I told him, after reading the advert he pinged over to me when we were having breakfast together one morning. Admin assistant in a rehab centre? You should have gone to college then, shouldn't you? You're not hanging around the house all day sponging off of me. You need to find some work. A few weeks later, I had a call inviting me to visit the centre and meet the HR director. Dad overheard the conversation. So here I am, despite my reservations. I'm staring at the artwork covering the walls when a figure appears at the far end of the room and strikes a pose. Bent at the hips, left foot pointing forward, one white glove clutching the fedora she's wearing. She trails her fingers down the hat across her chest and splays them out behind her. The other hand rests on her belt. Her hips thrust back and forth several times before a leg kicks out. She rotates her wrists and then flings an arm to her right, flicking her head to follow its direction. There's something familiar about her actions that I can't quite place. I take in the black Demonte jacket over her white t-shirt, black trousers showing white socks, black and white shoes. Michael Jackson! She's dressed like Michael Jackson. And this is her starting position for Billie Jean, my retro disco favourite. Throwing the hat behind her, she smooths back her hair and glides across the floor, spinning around, bouncing on her toes, running on the spot, rolling from her waist, all MJ's signature steps that have the melody playing in my mind within seconds. I'm rocking from side to side, shrugging my shoulders and mouthing the words of the song when she swaggers towards me, stretching her fingers out and then retracting them as though pulling me from my seat with an invisible cord. I rise to my feet, relishing the chance to join this silent disco. We dance in unison, twisting, turning, tumbling to the imaginary beat. I follow her lead as we slide into the infamous moonwalk, but as we twirl around to repeat the move, we find a lady in a grey suit observing us from over the rim of her glasses. Well, the music evaporates. We come to a standstill. "Are you a resident here?" she asks, glaring at me. "No." I glance at my companion, who tugs at the sleeves of her jacket. "I'm here for an interview." The woman raises her eyebrows. "Really?" Her tone is as frosty as a November morning. "Are you Beverly Randall?" I nod. She calls into the air, "Cheryl, escort Lily to her quarters." Then reverts to me. "This way." As Nurse Cheryl materialises and ushers Lily away, I trail after Miss Frosty. We enter a room where a living wall overflows with foliage in different shades of green. "Wait," she snaps, before approaching two people reclining in raspberry red armchairs. They talk in hushed voices, and Ms. Frosty throws a scowl in my direction on her way out. The man motions for me to sit down. "Well," he says, smiling, "I understand you've made a connection with Lily Dolby. She's been with us for 4 months, and no one's managed to do that. Well done." Through the window, I see Lily doing cartwheels across the lawn, pursued by Nurse Cheryl. I so want this job.
Thank you, Jackie. That was another one of the reads from the random pile of stories that we chose from our 600-word Pick of the Pops story competition. That one was inspired by this song. We'll have another one for you tomorrow and one every weekday next week, leading up to our final 10 that will be read during July, and then we'll announce a winner later in July. So well done if you're getting your stories read. They are sounding great.